Ladies and gentlemen, we are back again. Episode 6. You see the red, white, and blue. Team USA is about to play in a minute. 4th of July weekend coming up. You know how we feel about our country. We have our issues, but we still love it because it's ours too. We here. It's your boy Dante Miles in the building. You already know where to follow me. I'm going to bring in my guys, man. We got a really good episode for you today of the High and Outside podcast, episode 7. Oh my God, Sid, Malik, how y'all feeling?
I'm good. Go ahead, Sid.
Yeah, let's say the Mets lost. Whatever. They can't hurt me. The next one a championship. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna be flying high on that for a while. We already know. Okay. I can't be mad at it. I can't.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, you get banished fly forever. I'm still confused because I see a different Texas Rangers team every night. Day to day, they already took the L. Big loss to Cleveland, but I'm doing good, man. Ready to get back to the ballpark this weekend.
Yeah, definitely, bro. The Braves are playing the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, Jordan Walker and the guys. Surprising some people, he's still doing pretty good. I'll be at the game tomorrow night. I'll be there Thursday as a fan. I actually want to sit back and chill for a minute because I know the Mets are coming in town for 4th of July weekend. So I'll definitely be working those games. So, you know, get an opportunity to come out and just actually watch the guys. The Braves have been struggling. And we're actually going to get right into the NL East updates. You know, we do this, you know, around every, you know, 5 or 10 episodes just because 2 out of the 3 people here are extremely interested in teams in the NL East.
So you're not a fan anymore.
Myself being, I'm covering the team. You know, we try to keep it objective. We got to keep it objective. I'm a fan of the White Sox.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I like to gloat. I like to rub it in when we're winning and the Mets are losing, but, you know, we're both losing right now. So.
So now it's we again.
I'll keep it professional.
Yeah. Look, bro, I see how you move. We're waiting for the White Sox to be good for so long.
I have.
This is crazy, bro.
We went through the toughest part of the schedule without our best player, and we are 2 games up in first place. I'm okay with that. There's no shame in my game. We pay to be fans. Let's be crystal clear. I feel this way about every other sport. I've got a little bit of passion left for baseball, but no, I spend my money. I'm going to root for what I want to root for. But no, the NL East, man, like I said, it's been – we called this – weeks ago, we've been calling this actually since we started a podcast. This podcast actually used to be called the NL East War Report because, you know, for several reasons, not only for baseball war, but because this division is nuts. You know, we've had the Marlins had their best month in franchise history, going 20-6 in June. The Braves were god awful. The Mets have been bad for a while. Nothing's working for them. But now all of a sudden, the Philadelphia Phillies look like the team that went to the World Series a few years ago. The Phillies are 2.5 games out of first place. And one guy, I'm going to start it off with him. I always started off with him. He was designated for assignment by the Chicago Cubs for God knows what reason. Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber is having another amazing season. Right now he's sitting at, you know, 30 home runs. He has 55 hits, 30 of them are home runs. So, I mean, the OPS is 952. Slugging is 583. He's in the 96th percentile of everything you would want a power hitter to be involved in. The strikeouts are still there, but I mean, like we always talk about that 3-outcome hitter, he is elite. He is arguable. Well, there is no argument. He's the best of the best when it comes to that. Kyle is the guy. And now you have a guy who went from being, like I said, designated for assignment to you have some who say he's positioning himself for a Hall of Fame career. The numbers speak for themselves. It's been consistent. The power's there. He's going to have to do it for a few more years to get to that Hall of Fame status. But right now, you know, this season, Kyle Schwarber has put that team on his back, and the Phillies are looking once again like a World Series contender. So, Malik, I'll go to you first, man. What are you seeing from these Phillies? And is this something that, you know, like we talk about this division, are the Braves really in for a dogfight here, or is it just one of those ebbs and flows of 162?
Definitely ebbs and flows, but I for sure think it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, I got to start with the pedigree of the Phillies. They still haven't reached that World Series pinnacle, but we know guys like Bryce. We know guys like Schwarber, who we saw last year during that home swing-off. One of the best home run hitters of our generation. But I got to give all credit to Don Mattingly. Did his thing with the Dodgers. He was the bench coach for the Blue Jays the last few years, and I think that's affecting them not having him with their current record right now. I believe they're under 500 right now. Losers of maybe Maybe they entered the game today with 6-7 straight L's, something like that. But Don Mattingly, he's a winner. He's an experienced guy. And they've been on the up and come up. So I do worry slightly about their pitching. Think they're the type of team. Dombrowski, he's an aggressive GM. He'll go in out of bat. But definitely do like the Phillies. And I got to credit, like I said, Don Mattingly, one of the best coaches in Major League Baseball, a guy that I think should have got considered for more managerial jobs than he got. I don't know how he has stayed under the wraps for so long. These guys, I don't know. It's new age baseball. I can't explain it, but he's been one of the best minds in baseball for years. And for him not to get a job is kind of crazy. So you got to wonder, do the Phillies lock him up at the end of the year? Because if not, I mean, even a team like the Mets, maybe, you know, the Boston Red Sox, they're going to scoop him up. He's doing a great audition for himself right now.
No, absolutely. And it's funny you say that because he's working for his son. His son is the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. So that's pretty dope. I agree with you. And this is a team, you know, shout out to Zach Wheeler, a guy who, you know, has pretty much let it be known that, you know, when his contract is up, he is done. And he's been dealing for that ball club. He's been playing really well, pitching pitching his ass off, you know. And the Phillies have, like, they were 8.5-9 games back. You know, you had a lot of Braves fans feeling like that this team could coast and play 500 ball and, you know, hold on to this division lead. And you've seen that is not the case at all. The Phillies look legit. And I'll pivot really quick to the Braves because on the surface, everybody seems like everything is fine. It's all okay. We'll bounce back. But you have to believe that there's a bit of anxiousness around this ball club when you look at the way they've fallen off. And now the issues that at the beginning of the season you thought weren't an issue are now an issue. And before I really go into that, Sid, I want to get your opinion about the Phillies. It's what you've seen so far and where they're going for the rest of the season.
I mean, they probably have the Cy Young winner, if we're being completely honest. Like, he had a fantastic June. The bullpen is, you know, make or break behind Jose Alvarado. But, like, yeah, the Mets series with them was really interesting. They started off really bad and got really good. It just seems like Bryce Harper is, like, kind of not back, but, like, he's now hitting those back-breaking home runs, and he's now like that bat-breaking bat that we've always known him to be, except now like tenfold with Schwarber, like right there with him. Trey Turner, I don't know if his OPS has eclipsed like a 700 clip yet, but, like, you know, he's contributing one way or another. So, like, the lineup is solid. The starting pitching is solid. The bullpen is always a question, but, you know, that I think that's just baseball. Like, you can't have all of it, even when you do. Like, it's just never all working at once. But I, you know, I hope they keep Mattingly. The next guy I want to see manage my team is Alex Cora, but, like, you know, say la vie.
Yeah. And it's interesting because Alex Cora, the Phillies offered him the job, and he said, you know, I'm going to sit the rest of the year out, be with my family, and, you know, re-hit the market in the offseason. So that's going to be interesting. And like I said, the Phillies are going to be here. We know they're here. And the Braves are in trouble. I mean, we talked about it last episode with Spencer Strider going on the IL, the 60-day IL. I think I personally think he's probably done for the year. If he does come back, I don't think you can expect much from him. But again, we talked about this time and time again, the decision to get the brace as opposed to getting Tommy John. That pitching staff is finally falling apart. Bryce Elder's come back to reality. He's had some really bad starts his last few times out. And it's getting to a point where, you know, when you're relying on 37-year-old Chris Sale, you know, to really anchor that pitching staff, and he has, to his credit, he's pitching like a Cy Young contender, but the rest of that staff has just been bad. And it's unfortunate because that bullpen is still the best bullpen in baseball. You still have some back of the game guys who can really come in and shut it down. But the problem is you can't get your pitchers to get to six innings, Mike. You can't get the ball to them. So when you have to tap into that bullpen early, it truly, truly becomes a problem. And now when you look at the Braves, 2.5 games out, now you're looking at from maybe I need to make a move to stay afloat to, no, I might need to make a drastic move. You know, we talked about Scooble. Bob Nightingale reported on it and said the Braves are a dark horse for him. I think you have to make that swing. If you're the Braves, you have to make that swing. And Ronald Acuna,
you have to at least try.
You have to.
Like, are you going to re-sign him? No, you're not. Like, that's just not happening. But you have to try. Like, yeah. Because otherwise, like, he's just going to go, like,
yeah,
end up in, like, San Diego or something because A.J. Preller is insane.
Yeah, no, no, absolutely. So you have to try, but right now you're at a point where it's looking like you need to take a big swing. You need a 2021 type of series of moves that can really reshape this team, because it seems like the life is somewhat coming out of it, and you're talking about a team that has some guys playing really well, and Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris II, and Matt Olson as well, and you really don't want to waste that. Drake Baldwin, man, he's like, I think I want to say ever since that home run, he's one of those over 36 with 17 strikeouts, something like that. Something crazy. But he has not hit the ball since he came back from the IL. So it's something you need to monitor and really just take a look and see if it's time to make several moves. But I think with that pitching staff and those injuries, you certainly, certainly have to make a move. And if you don't, it may be another year when you see the Braves slide a little. I know you typically used to seeing them in, you know, pole position in that NL East, but this year you may see something different. Sid, I'm going to throw this to you, and then I'm going to throw it to Malik. Let's talk about the Mets real quick. Your boy Mendoza.
No.
Fell on the sword.
Why would you threaten me like that?
No, what? We got to stop all this Knicks, this jovial Knicks talk. You know, we get a little carried away. The other guys in blue and orange, the New York Metropolitans, you know, Juan Soto's playing right field, playing left field like he don't care again.
It was a bad hop on a bat.
We got our rumors going about old beefs from last season that don't mean absolutely anything. So talk to me, man. Like I said, I'm going to go to you first, Sid, then we'll throw it to Malik. The New York Metropolitans spent a lot of money and, you know, cut bait, spent some more money. BGO's back in Toronto crying. I'm sorry, Bichette. Back in Toronto crying. It just doesn't look like, you know.
Oh gosh.
Things are what they were supposed to be.
Okay.
So just talk to me. Talk to me.
The Bo Bichette thing. He spent 7 years of his life there, 9 years of his life in that organization. He should cry. Like, we like stories like that. The same way Freddie Freeman cried. The same, bro. If you put me back in New York to tell me to do something important right now and then tell me to go back to Kentucky, I'd probably cry. Like, what? Mendoza, geez. Steve Cohen said it was a mercy shot because they knew that they were not going to rehire him. Or, like, they're not going to extend his contract. Unfortunate, but true. One of those things that David Stearns did not exactly hire this manager. And so you had to think at some point he was not going to be coming back, which is fine. I really wish that Steve Cohen wouldn't have said anything about the Lindor and Soto thing, because, like, yeah, who cares? But at the same time, like, why would you give them that underhand pitch? Like, that's just so silly of you to do. And, like, it's fine. It happens. I guess this is, like, the ups and downs in having a transparent owner. Like, if nothing else, Steve Cohen is going to say exactly what's on his mind. And he reaffirmed that David Stearns was going to finish his tenure as the Mets president of baseball operations. Like, it seems silly to think that he wouldn't. because, you know, we're talking about infrastructural bill, and we're talking about how the Mets are built. We're talking about from like the summer leagues, or not summer league signings, like the fall ball signings and everything like that, to AAA to single A to everything. So they're not going to fire a president of baseball operations. That's like, they're so few and far between. Like, it, you'd have to be crazy to fire one at this point, because like, you don't have anyone else running your organization after that. And so now, like, cool. What can you do except wait for this process to be done? Like, I've seen worse. I've seen better. At least we have players who want to try. At least we have players who want to be here. At least we have good players on the roster. I've seen the Mets tear it down with no good players on the roster. So, like, and we have a good future. So, like, I guess my stance as a fan and as someone who has a vested interest in the goodness of baseball, I think this is what you want your organization to look like when they fail. Like, you want them to say, hey, what resources do we have now? What resources do we have long term? And what can we do to make sure that, like, we're not repeating this? And, like, this isn't the first time the Mets have torn down a roster. This is, like, the third time since, like, 2022, which is fine, I think, again, because, like, that's what you want your organization to do. You don't want them to, like, just say, oh, man, and then do the same thing. Like, so I'm kind of cool. Like, the on-field product sucks, but, like, it's July 1st. On-field baseball kind of does suck right now. Like, we just saw the Cubs put up 22 runs, like, today. Oh, happy Bobby Bonilla Day, too. Like, that's today.
Get paid, young brother, get paid.
Yeah, I'd love to see a black man get paid.
Malik, bro, I'm going to swing it to you. The Mets, and, you know, it's, I guess the entire year really has been a disappointment. I'm not just saying this to rub it in. I'm just, you know, just.
No, it's the truth.
I'm just doing my job. Just doing my job.
Yeah.
So how you feel about the Mets, man? If you were, you know, Steve Cohen, unlimited money, you can do what you want to do. What would you do with this squad? Where would you go from here?
Definitely.
Hold on, Malik. Audio is going in and out. Can you hear us? Yeah, we can't hear you. We're going to let Malik leave out and join back in, then we're going to ask him about the Mets. But yes, I agree with you, Sid. I think a lot of times, because we're in this 24-hour news cycle and we're constantly, you know, need something to talk about, people will sit here and act like it's the end of the world just for the sake of having a conversation. And we live on these extremes, and it makes absolutely no sense. It's something that, you know, it's unfortunate we have to participate. That's partially why we don't always go every week, because sometimes, you know, there's just nothing to talk about. The baseball games were played, people won, people lost, and that's the end of it. And so let's see if we get Malik back. Malik, how you feeling?
I'm back. Technical difficulties over.
Yeah, no, you sound great now. Perfect.
Okay. It's this damn computer. Anyways, sorry. But yeah, a few weeks, what was that? Last Tuesday, that Mets game where you see six errors in the infield after the slacking they got in game one of the doubleheader. I think that said a lot, but I didn't hear what you said, Sid, but I've known throughout this whole season, you haven't put it on Mendoza. When things like that happen, I don't put it on the manager. That's on player performance. Marcus Semien, after that game, he went on the IL with, I believe, a hip flexor strain. So maybe stuff was bothering him with that. Hearing just different things. You got vets trying to spill the beans about what's going on in the clubhouse. Man, obviously, it's tough right now to make any major splashes to help your team when you're a team like the Mets, because of what we're going to talk about soon with the lockout coming up. You don't want to sell too much and be end up paying for people next year who you're not going to get a full season from. So it is tough to just sort of tank and lose. And there are guys, Benj, you know, different young guys that the Mets do have. Juan Soto's still a young guy. Francisco Lindor, I don't think, is going anywhere. So I think that they're going to have to ride the wave. It's just with how – it's something internal with them that they have to figure out. And it's tough because you add a leader like Marcus Semien, who he's not going to be there. Juan Soto's kind of been in and out the lineup. You remember Luis Robert, he got off to a start, a solid start to the season. He went out for the year. That's affecting them as well. Him and Soto, that combination, I feel like, in terms of team chemistry, kind of messed thing up. You also got Bo playing a new position. And, you know, infield is infield. I get it. But the throw from to go from shortstop to even playing a little bit of second, it's just a different look at third base. So to do all that, have all that on his plate, plus focus on his bat, you know, it's pretty tough. But, man, ultimately, I think his hands, the GM's hands are kind of tied with the looming CBA that we're going to discuss over him. And sort of like the big name guys just aren't producing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know I've been looking down at my phone. The Boston Celtics just traded Jaylen Brown for Paul George.
Bro, I've been looking at that trade for like 5 minutes now.
To the Sixers?
Yes.
Straight up?
Well, they got 2 first-round picks too, but it was just stupid. All right, never mind. Yeah, let's get back.
No, I think you were saying something earlier, and I was making a face, and it wasn't because of baseball. It was because that trade came through, and I was just like, "Word,
insane."
Anything to beat your Knicks, Sid.
Hey man, well, hey,
and I know we are. We'll get back to baseball. Don't sleep on them Sixers, man. I get, you know, that joke. Whenever, if Joel Embiid, hey, man, if Embiid can, maybe I think they should sell off on him. But, you know, Maxi, VJ, now you got Jaylen Brown. That team is tough.
Like a baby.
Boston, that, slap in the face. But no, anyway, let's like get back to baseball. Sleep. Sid, we're going to throw it right back to you because you brought this up. I'll say the general points and then I'll just toss it to you. The owners put out more to CBA, and at this point, it looks like the owners are pretty much telling guys, hey, just so you know, we're cutting costs. You know, these are all just – obviously, the CBA runs through this season, so these are all just filler, throw it out there, get a public response, get a response from the other side. Just, you know, none of this is really important. I don't think we should really, really tie too much into it, but it is – important to look at the way the owners are spinning this. And so before I throw it to Sid, talking about contract limits, 5 years or 6 years, age limits and mandatory college, you know, so you would never be no more drafting high schoolers. You would have to go to college for 2 years. So you would be pushing the onus of player development onto colleges who are trying to win games and get money and not do any of that. And then the international drafts, of course, you'd be cutting your pool money from like 320 to 200 million. And the age would go up to 18. Players wouldn't be able to sign it till they're 18 right now. I believe the age is 16 or 15 or 16. I think it's 16. But you would be pretty much decimating baseball in Latin America for a lot of people. And so, Sid, I'm going to throw it to you, bro. Tell us how you feel. What's it looking like? And just where do we go from here, man? Are we losing 2 seasons here? Because that's what it sounds like. I know 2027 is done. But 2028 might be cooked the way we're talking. So just talk to us about the CBA for a minute.
Yeah. It's funny. I have like this little stem of mine, like when things are going terrible. And I credit this to one of my good friends from Twitter. And she just says, Brian Abreu, you can't throw strikes. Brian Abreu, you can't throw strikes. And that's kind of what like these CBA negotiations feel like. Like, Brian Abreu, why can't you throw a strike, bro? Like, why can't the MLB side do the right, like, I know none of this matters in the grand scheme of things, but like just the way you're trying to flip and turn this as a proverbial argument, like obviously we're dealing with lawyers, but like Jesus Christ, you people suck. Like, you're not even offering things that are real. Like, you're not even talking like real things. So like the more time they waste at the table, it's like the more time that we're just not going to have baseball. Like, we already know it's cooked. So like, we should work on something being better. Because like, what do you mean 5 or 6 year limit contracts for ages, for players age 30 plus? Like, what do you mean cutting down the international draft day? Like, is it unethical for the way that we have used the international draft pool? Probably, right? But the caveat is that you are like, you're spending money and you're using the money to invest in what you think should be a good product. Should major league clubs be a little bit more conscious of how they spend that money? Absolutely. Should we be signing less 15-year-olds? Probably. But like, no, that's not how this works. Like, and what do you mean cutting, like making the draft, like college baseball looks so much different than MLB baseball. So like, I don't even know, like you're asking everyone and everything to change the way that they have been doing things for forever to cut cost on billionaires. That doesn't make sense. What do you mean? What do you mean cut costs? You're a billionaire. You don't cut costs. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, man. It's funny because they keep talking about these clearly cost-cutting measures as if they're better for the game and as if they're going to grow the game. And it's just being pretty hypocritical when a few years ago, Commissioner Manfred came out and said, well, you know, studies have shown spending and competitiveness aren't really on the same, you know, plane. It's not really related. It's, you know, more so scouting, you know, having the right people making the right moves, essentially. And so in knowing this, you're really going to try to flip the game upside down at its height of popularity because a few owners are pissy about the Dodgers. Like, are we really about to do this? Because, you know,
they said no deferred contracts.
One thing that's really interesting to me is, you mean to tell me that you had 12 or so owners who are under the current floor agree to spend $100 million just so we can get four teams to cut payroll? Like, it doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. Whatever you try to equate it to, it doesn't really equate. And so, Malik, I'm gonna swing it to you because I know we got to talk about the Rangers before we get out of here. But just, what are your thoughts on this CBA, this latest round of, you know, not even negotiations, this latest round of just offers that are just being taught, just thrown out there? Just, you know, what are you hearing and how you feeling?
All right, so you can kind of convince me on the no more 10-year crazy contracts. I'll try to find logic in that. But the college baseball thing throws me off 100%. You got starting pitchers in college throwing 120 plus pitches some night. You got the transfer portal now where it's not, like you were saying, it's not about development. It's about when now or where can I get the most money. So you're already in, and you're adding a whole pool of players that, I mean, I just can't imagine. You know, we have a guy out here locally, Emerson, I can't remember his name. He's out of Fort Worth Christian, top three prospect, going to be in this year's draft. But like, he's taken a spot of somebody that wasn't good enough to get drafted high, and needs to come develop. Well, now you're poking out him. And it's just, it takes away from so many great stories, man. We grew up, I call him, he hasn't got his ring yet, but LeBron James, Bryce Harper, the same with Jason Hayward, guys that we knew when they were like 15, 14, did what they did straight to the league. A guy like Josh Hamilton. I mean, there's been so many great players, Gunnar Henderson, so many great players, that I can name that have came from high school that are make a quick impact in the big leagues. We love those stories. The Latin pool thing, I think, is also wild. I do agree. It's kind of crazy to sign a dude when he's like 12 years old. But at the same time, man, it's a major blessing to his family. And to have them have to wait so long, too, that's just that it doesn't seem equal. Are they allowed to come over here and go play college baseball? So those are just a few of the things I have to figure out. I'd love to see what the players' response was to that. I did see that they offered only 3 minor league options instead of 5, which, I mean, you know, that's something in the players' favor, I guess, but
yes. But not even, because you got to remember, they don't, and Bryce did get his ring. He got a ring in 2008, but they've already, you know, they barely play minor league players as it is. And essentially, when you look at cutting the minor leagues, what it looks like to me is that you are sitting there and trying to limit the amount of play, even though we're talking about $20,000, $25,000 contracts, you just don't want to pay those people. Like, you don't want to pay that you know, single A or that Arizona Fall League bullpen catcher. So when you have things like that, again, bro, like
the salary though, like,
yeah, exactly. You're talking about a small, minute amount of money compared to what, like, you're making.
Like, we're talking about, like, if all things considered, we pay them the way they should. Like, you could probably pay like a minor league catcher like around like 85,000-90,000. It'd be good.
And they don't even do that. So I mean, this is going to be interesting, but like, the more we look, the more we talk, I'm really starting to think we're not going to only lose 2027. This may bleed into the next season. Now, obviously, we had similar feelings with the last CBA, but when that one was signed during was that COVID as well?
Right around.
Yeah, right around.
Right after.
It was like the restart CBA, yeah, for like post COVID.
Yeah, and the talk was always, well, once this is over, we're really cooked. So it's starting to look that way. But I mean, we're gonna start to stay positive. Hopefully we get some good baseball and go from there. But speaking of good baseball, man, as we get ready to close this thing out, Malik, man, we're gonna put you in the ISO cam, man. Talk to us about the Texas Rangers. I know as the season first started, we were talking about, man, they're playing really bad baseball, but now they're playing a lot better. I believe they officially were in first place as of yesterday, correct?
Yeah, and I got to check the standings. They did lose today to Cleveland, so I think they may be tied for first. But, yeah, they were on a season-high 6-game winning streak. On their current road trip, they went 9-7-2, I want to say. So things are looking up. And it's crazy because at the start of the year, I would have told you Corey Seager, Wyatt Langford, Evan Carter, they're the keys to, you know, the Rangers getting back to the playoffs for the first time since 2023. Wyatt Langford once again is on the IL, and there's the big cloud over the Texas Rangers right now is superstar Corey Seager. He's dealt with injuries his whole career, but since he's got to Arlington this season in particular, he's had hamstring issues, he has back issues, he's had a concussion from running slow around the bases because of his hamstring, and he ended up sliding into, I believe it was Carter Jensen or Salvador Perez, gave himself a concussion. And then Tuesday's game, managers exchanged lineup cards. Seager gets his elbow guard on, and then he determines while he's not even on deck, while he's in the hole, he's a 3-hole hitter, that he can't play. So just a point of just putting the team in a bad position, having a player who's unprepared to come start the game, end up starting the game. The Rangers end up winning. But it's a confliction. I personally think Seager, man, what he did in 2023, what he did for the Dodgers when the Dodgers won one of their World Series, it's only a certain – you have to have a guy like that to win a championship. But at some point, and I think we realize it now, this Rangers team, they just got to play hard. They play hard, and when this dude, he's here, you know, he squeeze him in a lineup, whatever, but – we don't got him. He's not here to save us. And I think that mindset has helped guys like Nicky Lopez, Elias Diaz, 2 castaways. You know, Jake Berger's playing good baseball. They also lost Brandon Nimmo. He hasn't officially hit the IL, but a shoulder injury. So it's been impressive to see what the under known guys, I don't want to call them underrated because they're not superstars, but the guys that are just making the most of their opportunities have done. The question becomes, do you rely on Corey Seager to come back? Do you rest him up? His contract, he's only getting older. His contract's only getting more expensive. Or do you move off of him and say, man, we got to get something because this guy can't play baseball? I think a huge determining factor in what the Rangers do at the deadline is going to be next weekend before All-Star break. Houston Astros are in town. They're playing great baseball. Yordan Alvarez is hitting like an MVP. I think if you can contend with them after losing their previous two series against them, then, yeah, you got to make some moves. And it's interesting to see what they do because the minor league system isn't deep. And you have a few guys in Jock Peterson and Mackenzie Gore who are on one-year contracts that I think you got to think about moving off. I'm not, you know, a guy who's controllable, I might not want to move, especially, like I said, especially with the CBA, how it is. But a guy like Peterson, who was absolutely putrid last year, he's and started the year slow, but he's playing like an all-star level designated hitter at the moment. And just the inconsistencies you've seen with Mackenzie Gore, man, I know they sold a bunch of prospects for him, but I don't know if he's earned himself a long-term deal in Texas. I feel like any team would be, you could find a team willing to maybe take a flyer on him. But like I said, it'll be interesting to see this Rangers team so up and down. They got the Detroit Tigers coming into town who we thought they were dead to rights, but they're actually starting to play a little bit better baseball. That might just be because they're playing the New York Yankees, who we have no reason to mention on this podcast for how poorly they've been playing without Aaron Judge lately in the lineup. So it's a different team every day, Dante. I'm sure next Sunday, Monday, whenever we record this again, the Rangers will be on like a 5-game losing streak or something like that.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's just the game we love right now. It's a lot of ups and downs, a lot of ebbs and flows. And right now, the flow for Texas is really definitely on the upswing. I'm interested to see, man. There's a lot of turnover with that team. So, you know, you have a lot of, you know, familiar faces in other places.
Yeah, and you got to – hate to cut you off, but like – That's just from a fan perspective, man. From that World Series team, there's no more Bruce Bochy. There's Leody Taveras is gone, and the the big three was Corey, Adolis, Marcus Semien. Marcus and Adolis are gone for their poor performances. You're still seeing the same level of performance from Corey Seager. So, what's with his leash? Why is the leash with him so long? Jonah Heim gone. You know, Mitch Garver gone. So, it's a lot of turnover, I feel for a manager because and I give this analogy. It's like when your friend tells you, "Hey, man, meet me at the bar at 10 o'clock." They're like, "Yeah, I'm getting ready. I'm heading up that way." You arrive to the bar and he's nowhere to be found. I can't imagine being a manager and my player had all day to prepare. We've been at this facility for 5 hours and you wait till the game starts to tell me you are unavailable to play. It's kind of bullshit, but hey, that's baseball.
Yeah, man. But we got a lot of good baseball left. We're coming up on an All-Star break. I will be in Philadelphia. Looking forward to that. I think it's going to be a really good All-Star game this year. I know a lot of people are expecting the National League to just smoke the American League. But, I mean, one thing about baseball and one thing we know about baseball is that this is the one All-Star game. You can't really fake it. You can't mail it in. Like that's not how this game goes. You really got the best of the best out there. I think it'll be another one of those 3-2 games, something like that, but I think it's going to be really good. And so, you know, with that being said, you already know where to follow us on social media. Follow the Barber's Chair, Barber's Chair Co. It's on Twitter and Instagram. Follow the Patreon, patreon.com/ Barber's Chair Network. Man, we got a few very affordable tiers. Come see what we got. And for last but certainly not least, for everything else Barber's Chair related, make sure you check us out on the bcnet.com. I'm Dante Miles for Sid and Malik. This has been another episode of the High and Outside Podcast. Senegal just got screwed over by the refs. This is crazy. Y'all keep enjoying that World Cup, and we'll see you.